Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Women Talk, the weekly podcast about the taboo topics that we all desperately try to avoid, but deep down really want to discuss. Yes, I'm talking about politics, race, sex, and religion, and anything else that we deem needs to be covered and discussed. Join us every Monday, 8 p.m., right here at blogtalkradio.com/Black Women Talk with Rhonda and Renee.
Yeah, yeah, enough of that. Just play the theme song.
I'm doing great. So what's been going on since we took a little break last week? How was your holiday?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty relaxing. I really needed a break. I didn't do anything, didn't go anywhere. Just took my time and enjoyed my space. It was nice.
Good. That's wonderful. Well, we actually, not for the holiday, but we went to New York for Jeff's birthday on the 1st. His birthday is June 1st. And so I got him he runs a pizza meetup group. I bought him a pizza walking tour of New York for his birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
oh,
he was in heaven. He was in heaven. So we saw where the first pizza in the U.S. came from. We went to that restaurant, and we went to two others. We had pizza along the way. We learned about pizza history. We learned about the ovens and the heat and the coal and the wood and the gas. And it was actually very interesting. She was a great tour guide. I'd never spent that long in New York. I've always been to New York like for a day or like maybe overnight. But this time we stayed 5 days. And I really wanted to go and see all the off the beaten path kind of stuff. I didn't want to do Times Square and the Empire State Building and the Chrysler Building, Rockefeller Center. So I walked a lot. I averaged about 8 miles a day of walking, which was unbelievable. And I took the subway a lot, which I'd never done. I'd always been afraid to take the subway in New York. I took the subway. I got bike share for a little bit. That was truly frightening, being on a bike with bicyclists who, you know, I found out that signs and signals are merely suggestions and very optional to New Yorkers. And so that was scary. And I biked Harlem, which was awesome. I loved it. I went up to Harlem. I rented a bike at this bike shop and rode Harlem. It was great. So,
cool.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was a really good time. We took the train up, took the train back. So it was a great trip.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. So, tonight we're talking about, I don't even know how I'm going to do this topic because it just feels like, of course
Come
you don't
on.
Vote for that. But the topic is, who should get the black vote? And although I realize that we are not a monolith and we don't all have to vote the same way, there is sort of that assumption that there's a Latino vote, there's a black vote, there's an evangelical vote, there's a, you know, all these different groups of people vote a certain way. And typically, at least for the last 50 years or so, African Americans have been voting Democrat ever since John Kennedy. We've been voting Democrat. Prior to that, we were voting Republican because that was the party of Lincoln who emancipated the slaves. So the question tonight is, who shifts the black vote? We're down to Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Donald Trump. So if we had to vote today, what should we be vote? Who and what should we be voting for? So who and what? Yeah, who and what? What as in what politics, what policies, what values do each of the candidates hold that individually as African Americans and maybe collectively as African Americans, who should we be casting our ballot for?
The question. Well, I'm interested to know exactly, because you've already admitted that you are, were, whatever, a Republican. I'm interested to know just specifically how you are wanting to vote, if you want to disclose that. And you're going to know why you vote that way.
Well, I changed back to Democrat in the
2012 election. When?
2012, 2014, the midterm. I changed back.
You mean to tell me you did not vote for Obama?
No, I voted for Obama. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I decided to vote Democrat in the last midterm election.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And in the previous ones, I actually always voted Democrat. But I've always been kind of questioning it because I don't feel like Democrats really earn our vote. I feel like they expect it without having to do a lot of work. And I think the Republicans don't work at all for it. They just assume they're not going to get it. So I don't feel like anybody's really working for the vote. I feel like they just sort of assume they're not going to get it or they're going to get it. I right now am leaning towards Bernie Sanders, I guess because I'm sort of a socialist a little bit maybe at heart. But when I did the, I don't remember if it was iCitizen that you recommended last week or if it was another quiz or something I took about who you should vote for. When I went through all of the policies and what different candidates stood for, and this was way before it got down to just these three. This was back when there were 372 people running for a Republican race. I did it. And Bernie Sanders, I was kind of shocked, actually, that Bernie Sanders was the person that I most connected with. So that's who I would vote for today.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how some of his things are going to work out. Like, I know he wants to do free college. I think it's a great idea in theory. I have no clue monetarily how that's going to actually play out or if it's possible for it to work. I think that he has some challenges in getting. I think of all the candidates, he probably has the most diverse crowd of people. He's managed to rally the younger people, which is very interesting. He has a very diverse crowd as far as age, as far as ethnicities, as far as even, I think, even religion-wise. He seems to be, to get that group of people together. But there is something, there's some reason he's not fully connecting with black people the way Hillary is. I'm not exactly sure what that is. So I've been kind of watching him because I don't know what it is that he's not saying or saying. I'm not sure if it's something he's saying that's not doing it or if it's something he's not saying that's not pulling us in. I'm not sure exactly what it is yet. I know he talks a lot about what he did for civil rights. I think that's awesome. I also think it's not connecting with people today. And I'm not sure if maybe that's it. People are kind of trying to say, well, what are you doing today? Because you kind of live in the whitest state in America. Which he does. He's in Vermont.
I was about to say that. That's probably one of the major things that resonate with me is that he was a civil rights activist in some respects, or at least participated in quite a few. But his relationship with us as a people is very minimal, if at all, since that time period. And I was thinking about this question. I in terms of who should get the black vote, I hadn't really thought about this in terms of, you know, where I would vote because I'm still kind of debating. I definitely will not be voting for Donald Trump, for certain. although I know or I have heard of some black people that would be voting for him. But I was thinking this might be an interesting turn of events if we, or if I, decided to vote for Hillary Clinton, and probably not for the reasons that most people would think. In the past, black women have always been in the forefront of some type of movement to make life better for every other mankind, race, sex, gender, whatever, color. And we always get the short end of the stick in terms of making those movements. You know, we protest and stuff for women's rights, but it usually seems like the Caucasian woman comes out on top.
Mm-hmm.
I think this election, Hillary Clinton should win. And if she is for women's rights, this may be an opportunity for us as black women to sneak in some kind of way and get some of those benefits. She hasn't talked anything about any legislative, you know, anything legislative is the work she's going to do to help women. But I guarantee she would be pressed if we would all band together and do that. We're not getting paid, women, not even taking color into consideration, but just women are not being treated fairly. Women are not getting paid the same type of pay. There's a lot of stuff going on in education that impacts women, and women are more concerned, not to say that men are not, but probably more concerned about education for their children. So I think that there's a lot of things that Hillary could bring to the table for us as black women, just because she is a woman. And I know that's kind of stressing it, but that's what I thought. I said, you know, many opportunities have come about where we have fought for other mankind's rights, whatever that is, and we always, as black women, get the short end of the stick. So maybe this might be an opportunity. Plus, I feel like Hillary Clinton is much more experienced than either one of these candidates, Bernie or Donald Trump. Put them both together. They politically, they do not have what is needed in the next 4 years. There's a lot that's going on with ISIS. Again, they do need to get some bipartisan votes in terms of us working together, whether it be Republican or Democrat. She has the best opportunity, or she's more likely to do that, and she has more influence, I would think, to get some bipartisan influence. So I think she is, I mean, not to say that this is a great list of candidates, I believe she would be the stronger of the three. I think she has more influence in terms of the political realm. It may be hard for her, and she has a lot of political relationships that are much more, you know, established than these two other two candidates. So I think we don't have a great selection, but she's the lesser of the three evils that we have. And I think if we push the issue in terms of women issue, you know, women's rights and women's issues, we might have an opportunity here as black women. And typically when that happens, if you look at our history, typically a black woman is involved, even when it's civil rights, it's some kind of movement where we help our people alone, maybe in the background, but we do it. So I'm thinking that from my perspective, I was like, wow, this might be interesting. I have no magic ball or anything else, but I feel like that this might be something interesting for us. Just for women. And I'm not voting for her just because she is a woman. I'm voting for her because I think she has, or I would vote for her because I think she has the most intelligence in terms of political savvy. She has more connections. And I'm not even thinking about Bill Clinton, but if we were in a case and where we are with ISIS and a lot of stuff that's going on in Africa, he has, as her spouse, he has a lot of influence. And it might be needed. So it might be much more, it might be a wise decision for us to pick her, even though a lot of people don't agree with some of her policies. I think it's just more of who she's connected to. And Donald Trump, I mean, he's gotten Putin, the Russian president loves him. You got Korea that likes him. Those are not two people or two countries or two men that we want to try to associate ourselves with. And with the Russia and ISIS, if those two band together, we're going to have a big, huge political problem. I don't think the United States wants that.
I don't think so either. And I actually agree with you with Hillary's experience. I do think I was kind of surprised that when I took whatever that, and it wasn't on Facebook, it wasn't a Facebook quiz, but it was one of those quizzes where you just see who you politically identify with. I was really surprised that it came out to be Bernie Sanders because I was expecting it to be Hillary Clinton. But I do agree with you. I think that she has more. She definitely has more experience, and that's not even, I think that's just indisputable. I mean, when you put her against, especially against Trump, who hasn't been president of anything other than his own companies that he runs, and he doesn't run
which
those well.
Which are not successful.
But, right.
Yes.
They are not run well, apparently, since he's being sued over the university he has.
Trump University.
You know, so he's not doing well. She's also, I mean, having been Secretary of State, and I know she's come under fire for some things that she's done for that, but she obviously was qualified for that in some way and had learned how to be diplomatic, which is something that Trump is not. He is not diplomatic. I can't, like, there's so many things he's not. I don't even know what words will come tumbling out of my mouth, but you can't just cry foul every time something doesn't go your way. And that's what seems to be happening, is whenever he doesn't get his way, he wants to sue, he wants to dismiss someone, he wants to get rid of them, he wants to have them beaten up or thrown out. You can't run a country like that. You cannot be that thin-skinned and want everyone else to be that thick-skinned to deal with whatever you spew at them. That's not how America is going to work.
And inconsistent. He
yeah.
doesn't like Muslims, but and even said that there are no sports figures that are Muslims, and but he will praise Muhammad Ali, who just recently passed. So
right.
he's so inconsistent in terms of he can't even be, he's not even true to himself. That's how crazy he is to me.
I have been saying for months, and I don't know. I keep expecting, because at this point I don't know what can possibly happen. I don't know that I'll be surprised by anything except if he and Hillary decide to go on a ticket together. Like, that'll be the only thing that will shock me at this point. But I've been thinking for months, almost a year, that this is sort of a test kind of thing for Trump, and that he can't figure out how to get out of it. And so he keeps doing these insulting things. You know, it started with the Mexicans and then the Muslims, and let's bomb the hell out of ISIS. And, you know, it was one thing after another. This weekend, for those of you that, you know, heard this weekend it was, look at my African-American over there. And so it was like, are there any groups left to insult? Like, has he insulted Native Americans yet? Did he get to... What? I don't know what's left. I honestly don't know what's left. I'm just like, who's left? And so he keeps doing that, and I keep thinking, you know, is this his way of getting out of it, that he'll think, okay, surely when I say this, people won't pay attention to me. And yet he gets bigger crowds, he gets more people, and I'm actually more scared of the people who follow him than of him, because there are loads of them that all agree with him.
Well, you know, I was thinking, I'm afraid of if Bernie Sanders and Hillary don't get on one ticket, we're going to have a problem. Because
yeah.
from a Democratic perspective, you're going to split the vote there, and then Donald Trump can ease in
yeah.
and win this thing. So that's what I'm really afraid of. I hope the Democratic Party, even if it's just for the whole strategy of getting Bernie Sanders and Hillary onto one ticket, I really don't care. But in an effort to not have Donald Trump, I think they really need to do that. I'm seriously literally afraid if Donald Trump becomes president.
I see him
upsetting a lot of people. And they're not gonna be so kind to him. And definitely not the United States. And I think we're just if he becomes president, we'll be the laughing stock of the world. I really do. I really feel embarrassed to call myself a U.S. citizen or American based off of the way he talks and presents himself. Do we want that to represent the United States? Is that what we look like? I mean, that doesn't mean that's an oxymoron in our name itself, United States. We would not be united under someone like Donald Trump.
No, and he's already said that he's not concerned about uniting the party or anything like that. I mean, he wasn't concerned about that, which is something that it shouldn't surprise me, but it disappointed me when I saw Paul Ryan endorse him, because he hemmed and hawed like he didn't want it, kind of like he did with being Speaker of the House and you know, he hemmed and hawed, and he did it. And it's like, so now you're kind of looking at him like, so you're untrustworthy because And then Trump is you end up endorsing this guy who you originally thought is horrible for the party, because the whole point was at the end of the 2012 election was we need to unite the party. We looked at this. We lost again. We see that there's a big disconnect. We see that we're all white. We're mostly men. We're not inclusive in any way. How do we bring in more people? And then we get Trump, who manages to not only keep it the way it is, but make it worse. that's like a really special talent to make it worse. To make it more white. I mean, I don't know how you make it more white and male than it already has become. You managed to somehow do that.
I have a sneaky suspicion that the majority, the Anglo-Saxons, do want the United States to be white, completely white. They're not coming out and just, you know, it's kind of subtle, but it's there. As if the land belonged to them. I mean, that is part of their European, British type of history, type of being. They have always taken, went somewhere and taken someone else's land, and they don't necessarily want to share it.
Yeah.
So this is, if we're really, and just going beyond color, but black, just black people, if we think about minorities, even if we think about where Donald Trump comes from, we are a nation of immigrants. I don't know any purebred anything over here. Maybe some Jews. But
no,
I don't,
we are
I don't
a
understand.
Nation of immigrants.
I really don't understand. Well, yes, I do. I do understand where he's coming from. I'm just having a hard time accepting him saying, or most of his followers saying, they want to be pure white, when none of them themselves are not pure. If you are considering purity in terms of no black blood, then maybe that's okay. But you're not pure.
Right. And it's a country that you, like as you just said, it was taken from someone else. So, I mean, really, they should be putting us out, all of us, but in particular them. I mean, because it wasn't as if they were invited to dinner or something like that. They came over, they took the land, and so to now act like it doesn't belong to everyone or anyone that was born here. I mean, the fact, like, you know, he's fighting his case now about Trump University, and he's trying to get the Mexican American judge dismissed, the judge who was born in Indiana, because he doesn't think that he will be fair towards him, because we're building a wall
in
Mexico.
Opinion.
So I'm like,
yeah,
you can't go around the world doing that. Like, well, I can talk to you because, you know, I want to get rid of Muslims, so I'm not going to talk to you because you're going to have a bias. Like, that's being a bully. And you just can't run a country being a bully. It can only, the rules can only be played the way I want them played. So how does, you know, so no, I'm definitely not voting for Trump. Also read today that he pays on his staff, he pays, it's mostly, again, all white. in fact, it's all white, mostly men. And he pays the men a third more than he pays the women on his staff. So I'm not sure who he's rallying, because he doesn't have women. He has an African-American over there. He has a, he has, apparently the Latinos don't like him. He doesn't want them, or he thinks they don't like him. I don't know. But he doesn't have that vote. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, who is it really as many people voting for him as we think, or is it a small group of people that keep getting a lot of attention?
Well, I don't know where we might have been on the show. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, that usually the group of people that cry the loudest,
mm-hmm,
are not, you know, it's just that, it's not that it's a lot of them, it's just that they're just making the most noise. So I'm hoping that that is the case. I think some people that have already made up their mind and feel like there's no discussion that needs to be had about this, like, it's ridiculous. Why do I even need to be talking about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders? It's an easy choice for me. So the people that are really are supporting Trump are either quiet because they've made up their mind, and there's a few other people that are you know, engaging in the sensationalism that he brings to the TV. I don't know
either. I know he's scary. That's what
I'm telling you. I don't know what I was reading, but it was more like a prediction in terms of, you know, one of the way they think the world will end was that it had to be Russia uniting with someone else, which they thought maybe Korea, North Korea. So I'm really afraid in that sense. I can't remember what I was reading, but it's all putting it together now kind of makes sense to me. Reading where we think where they thought the world would end or how it would end, at least joining some forces that we typically don't join forces with and causing a nuclear war. So I'm looking at it in terms of, yes, okay, say you like Trump. Okay, you want to vote for Trump. But I think people need to not look at it for today and just say, well, you know, to hell with the political parties, and I'm just going to vote Trump because he's politically incorrect and he's free, he's able to say what he wants to say, and rah, 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 we like that about him. But we need to put this in perspective in terms of what impact he could have on us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long to screw it up.
No.
Ask Bush. But I didn't say that. but it doesn't. I mean, we won't even talk about it. He got in the White House and he had surplus, and he ended up, he gets out there as a deficit. But anyway, it doesn't take long. And if you don't have the diplomacy that you need to be able to interact with different countries, and you just say whatever comes to your mind at any point in time that you want to, and not thinking about the repercussions, he has too much of an ego to keep us in a safe position.
I agree. And I think the fact that he thinks there's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of just talk, a lot of huge and big and terrifics and greats thrown out there, nothing specific being actually proposed to Americans. And you know, you can't just say, I'm going to bomb the hell out of ISIS. you can't just say that
yeah.
and not think about what's going to happen. Well, you can. That's true. Obviously, you
mm-hmm.
can. Yes. But then what are the repercussions of getting involved in someone else's civil war? So once you get involved in it, because I'm pretty sure that he doesn't actually know the history of it and what's going on. I'm guessing, because I remember hearing him say when someone asked him a few months ago, where did he get his foreign policy stuff from? He was like, oh, the news. You know, I'm a smart guy. I can figure it out. So you're watching Fox?
What exactly?
Yeah, well, like, what are you watching to get your information about foreign policy? It has to be more than just what's being fed to you from Fox or CNN or MSNBC. Like, you have to actually kind of know what's the history going on in these countries before you go bomb the hell out of a country, because you don't even know why you're there or what you're doing there or how you're going to fix it after you bomb it. Because, okay, great, you bomb it, but you don't know what happens afterwards. Are we going to spend $1 billion fixing a country that we just bombed, like we always seem to do when we get involved in something? You don't know what's going to happen to the people there, because they've got to get out, because there are people there who don't want to be part of ISIS. They don't. And they're coming here because they don't want to be a part of it. So they're stuck in the middle. And so they're trying to come here for religious asylum. You don't want to take them because they're quote-unquote Muslims and could possibly be terrorists. And so now you have that whole problem going on. So what exactly are you going to do? And the very fact that he doesn't seem, I don't know about anybody else, but if you have an ideology that's so deep and so ingrained in you that you are willing to strap bombs to yourself or get in a car and blow yourself up, you believe in something. It may not be the same thing that other people believe in. You may not understand that belief, but that is a serious, deep belief. Most of us don't want to get hurt in any way for our beliefs. We want all our beliefs to be nice and sunny and flowery and feel good. And when they stop feeling good, we don't want to deal with the belief anymore. It's like, no, I can't, you know, that hurts. We are soft and tender in a lot of ways. They are not. And they're not looking at this as far as their ideology and what they believe in and how much they're willing to fight for. You can't ask many people to put a bomb on for their beliefs and blow themselves up for it in America. You can't ask children to walk across the street to school now because they might be unsafe, you know. So I'm like, there's no way that we can do things like that. So I'm like, are you kidding me? They have a serious belief. We might not get it. We might not agree with it. We might not understand it. But it's their belief. And you can't just fight that with a bomb. Because there's so many other people that believe that same thing. It's like, okay, so you get rid of the main guy. And then what? You get rid of al-Baghdadi, and then what? There's hundreds of people waiting to take his place. It will gladly take his place because they believe in a cause. They believe in having an Islamic state. That is the cause. So you just can't go over there and just bomb it because you don't want it anymore. You have to at least understand what's going on and figure out maybe they just want to be left alone. Maybe they want an Islamic state. And how can we make sure they have an Islamic state, the theocracy they want, without destroying entire countries to get it?
How about, I mean, I'm sure, I know we can't just do this, but because we are, we're, you know, in the UN and all, you know, but how about the United States? We need to stay in our own backyard sometimes and solve some of our own issues. Which is a similar line that they would tell us when we talk about Black Lives Matter, and they would tell us. But when it comes to whatever they, being the Anglo-Saxon, whatever they want to do, it's convenient for them to march around and tell everybody else what they need to do. So, because, you know, Renee, I was meaning to tell you this when I came back from Toronto. I was listening, I don't know what radio station it was, but they brought up the fact that people were saying, or people from the United States were saying to them, and they heard, the Canadians heard, that if Donald Trump becomes president, they were going to move, the Americans were going to start moving to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised to hear, listening to a Canadian radio station, they don't want Americans in Canada.
I don't blame them.
Now,
We obviously are not very blessed. I'm not even.
I was really surprised.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But anyway, I digress a little bit. You know, Renee, I was also thinking, too, and maybe you could help sort this out for me. I know you gave your reason for or who you would vote for in terms of, like, for Bernie Sanders, and you talked about that. But do you think the African-American community, since most of us have a tendency to now be Democrats, of those two candidates, who do you think we should as a group vote for? Because we need to unite and strengthen our vote here.
You know, I honestly have to agree with you. I think that as a group we should probably back Hillary. I think many of us are. I know that there are some that are upset about Hillary. I remember in 08 when she was running against President Obama, that she and Bill Clinton made some comments about him, the lack of experience. They tied some race issues to it. And it cost her to vote, actually, when she did it. Mm-hmm. Because up until that point, she was winning, and she made that comment, and like it was like this massive decline for her. But I think of between she and Bernie, I do think that she has more experience. I think that she has the ability to talk with other diplomats around the world. Even being a woman, I think that she can. And I shouldn't even say it like that, but I know how sometimes other countries feel about women. But I think being a woman can play to her advantage in some aspects, more so than it may be detrimental to her. I think that some of the heads of states will listen to her. I think that it'll be progressive for us. There are other countries, other quote unquote third world countries that have had female leadership. We haven't had any. So I think she could be really good. I think Hillary's issue, though, and why she's struggling, because honestly, she should really be beating, you know, Trump, who has absolutely no experience and will not follow a script to save his life, and Bernie Sanders, who is a 74-year-old socialist. Like, she should not be struggling as much as she is. But there's something that's unlikable about Hillary. And as high school as that sounds, those things matter. And there's something that's working against her. Every time I watch her, I feel like she would scold you. Like, that's the impression I get from her. I don't want to sit down with her. I don't want to hang out with her. And I know that sounds really stupid, but there's something to that. And being
a leader. She's not personable.
She's not personable. No.
And
she's
it really comes
strong.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes off as she's not a. And I sorry to interrupt you, Renee, but she, for me, she seems like she's one of those people that can read law books,
mm-hmm.
but it's very hard for her to come outside of those and be personable.
She's really smart, and I see that. I mean, she is brilliant, and you see that. But there's something about it that she makes you know it. Like, it's almost, and there's something about that. I can't put my finger on what it is, but it's that it's not the right mixture of I'm smart and you discover it. It's more like I'm smart and I'm telling you I'm smart. It's leaning more towards that. That makes her not personable and kind of not likable in some ways. And she's coming off that way, I say. So that I think that's why she's having a hard time beating two people who honestly should be really beatable. I hate to say that, but Trump shouldn't. The fact that he survived out of 16 other candidates is unbelievable to me.
Well, Renee, in knowing what the Republican Party has gone through why aren't other members of the Republican Party denouncing him?
I don't
why
know.
Why are they?
I don't know.
I don't understand that. I mean, maybe there's some political. I'm sure there's some political stuff that's going on that I have no idea what is going on. But I would think that the way he represents, I feel like if I were a Republican, the way he's representing me, I would be appalled. I would be, because there's not any issues, there's not any meat, there's not any substance of what he's all about that you're presenting, and you're totally ripping the Republican Party to shreds. I just don't get that. I mean, it's one thing to go down with the ship, but my goodness, at some point, some Republicans need to stand up and say, enough.
I don't know. I wish I knew. I don't, and sometimes I'm like, is it just a case of we're sticking together, like we're doing this no matter what, this is who we got, and we're Republicans, and we stick together. And I have to say, they tend to do that. They're not, you know, and I've had friends who are diehard Republicans who will tell me that they thought Obama was a better candidate, but they vote McCain because he's Republican.
You know what? I don't think. You know what? Maybe this is maybe they because it doesn't affect them either way.
It might, and it may not. That's, you know, because I do think in the big scheme of things, the president really affects the really rich and the really poor. That two laws are being passed for everybody in the middle. Really needs to be looking at Congress and their state people, their local council people, their judges, their sheriffs, like all of us in the middle, because that's where everything affects us, is through property taxes and all that other stuff. So maybe it doesn't. Maybe to them it's like, you know what, I'm involved in politics at the, you know, at the local level, and that's where it affects me. I really don't care who's president because I don't, you know, I'm not in the 1%.
My city, my state.
And I'm not
in
the bottom 1%. Yeah. And so maybe that is it. But that you have the luxury of doing that, I think, in some, you know, in certain communities, you have that luxury because everything pretty much is going to stay the same for you unless something really drastic happens, like, you know, in 08, 09, when everybody was losing their jobs and that kind of thing. Then all of a sudden it's, you know, oh, I should have paid attention. But that's a good point. Maybe it just doesn't affect them. So it's like, well, who cares? As long as we have a Republican in office, I'm good. Because maybe it doesn't affect them.
Well, you know, as you were saying that, I think the two, even for African Americans, when we talk about justice in the United States, I think a lot of us have just become numb. Because it doesn't matter. We've had, and I'm no disrespect to Obama, but we had Obama in for 8 years, and we have been persecuted more so than ever in a long time since the 60s. Well, not, I wouldn't say since the 60s or 70s, but we're being oppressed in a totally different way, and nothing is being done, even though we, you know what I'm trying to say? So most of us, I think, have probably just become numb to this election. We really don't care. Because whoever we put in that, and that's probably why people, African Americans, we are leaning toward Bernie Sanders, but because we want someone to fight for us.
Yeah.
Because he has fought for us in the past. And I can respect that. I mean, I understand that. I get that. But I'm also afraid, as I disclosed earlier, that we could have a split vote here, and that split could make Donald Trump ease right on in. And that is scary to me.
I think we could have a split vote. I agree with that. And, I think maybe people, what I'm seeing with, and I'm assuming this with Trump, because I really don't understand Trump's rise, especially past all of the candidates that were there. There's so many that just scares me, and Bernie Sanders. But what I'm seeing is that these are two pretty much outsiders. I mean, basically, Bernie Sanders is an independent who had to go Democrat to be able to run for the election. And so you pretty much kind of have two outsiders in a way. And maybe people are just tired of all the political crap, and they thought, we need some outsiders. We need some people who aren't, you know, beholden to Washington. They aren't beholden to big businesses. They think differently than inside of Washington. And I'm guessing maybe that's part of Trump's allure, and that's a big part of Bernie Sanders' allure, is that they aren't really deeply connected with the politics that are in place now. And they're pretty, I mean, even Trump is pretty, you know, they're pretty much being themselves. You know, I guess Trump is being, I don't know what Trump is being. He's, I don't know. The whole my African-American thing just got me this weekend. I'm like, can he get any worse?
No, he's already he's at scum level for me. And not so much, you know, like, I mean, you've got to have some respect for a man that has been able to, you know, have as much money and impact as he has. But at some point, you know, it's borderline just ridiculous. I mean, even if it's just, to me, I just don't even feel like he even respects the political process now. It's so
disrespectful. No, he doesn't.
You know, at some point, it's just got to be over with to me. I mean, really, I mean, I feel like he's not taking it seriously, as you described earlier. He doesn't even have a foreign policy. He doesn't really even know. I don't even feel like he's taking this seriously, and I think it has an impact on us, not directly in terms of legislative things, in terms of, you know, on the city and local, state and local level, we need to really be concerned about that. But I think in the eyes and the image of the rest of the world, we are going to be looking bad. And that is what's leaning me towards more of a Hillary Clinton than a Bernie Sanders, in terms of, because I think the political environment and what's going on outside of the United States is really, she has more experience and is more aware of those things than Bernie Sanders. Under different circumstances, I probably would vote for Bernie Sanders. I mean, I guess I'm kind of in a way contradicting myself, because we do have a things here at home that we need to be worried about that maybe Bernie Sanders would be good for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because the environment is, I mean, based on the way Donald Trump is presenting himself and how he's riling up a lot of people, and there's a lot of racial divide in a lot of different aspects, then maybe Bernie Sanders is the candidate that will help us, from a United States perspective, resolve some issues. I don't know. But I'm definitely afraid of Donald Trump. I guess it,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, I feel like it would be a very good, strong ticket if they put Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton together, with Hillary being the president and Bernie being the VP.
I wouldn't mind that combo. That doesn't bother me. I mean, because she'll have to, unfortunately, and I know this is kind of a little off topic, but this is just an aside. It kind of gets me a little bit that Hillary's going to pretty much be expected to get a man as her VP, whereas, and if Bernie Sanders won the nomination, I've heard that he's looking at Elizabeth Warren, which could be a really nice ticket. I actually like that ticket better. But I think it's interesting that when a man is in office, he's not expected to necessarily get a female vice president to balance things out. But I'm guessing that Hillary is going to be expected. Like, she couldn't just pop up and go, I think I'm going to get Elizabeth Warren. Like, there's no way they're going to have two women running the country. But we've had two men running the country forever. And we're in a mighty crappy state, you know, to be honest. You know, two men have been running the country since the beginning of the country, and this is where we are. And that's not to say that we haven't had some great advancements, we haven't had some things go well, but we also have to look at, we've had a lot of stuff that just hasn't gone well either, and it's been two men running it. And I think it'd be nice to have some balance in there sometimes, not just in your cabinet, but at the top, where you have someone, you know, you have a female voice that can say, you know, maybe we don't need to bomb everything in sight. Maybe we should just sit down and talk with them and figure out what's happening. Maybe we should stay out of it. Maybe it's not our business. Maybe we have a whole bunch of stuff over here in our own house that we need to fix. We have homelessness. We have unemployment. We have massive racism. We have massive sexism. We have lots of problems here we can work on. Before we go across the pond.
The term diversity.
Yeah. We have lots of things to work on before we go across the pond and start dealing with other people's stuff and telling them what they're doing wrong, how they need to fix it and be a democracy. Because democracy obviously is working that great for us. So we might need to look at that a little bit. But I think it'd be nice to have a little balance in power, a little yin and yang there would be nice. I know Donald Trump is not even considering a woman as vice president. So that's not even
his
short.
What if he did?
I can't even imagine who it would be other than his daughter or his wife. Those are only two women he seems to like.
Well, let's pretend here. If he did become president, would we now see all these little racy pictures of all of his ex-wives? I mean, I'm telling you, it just looks like it's just a joke to me. Like, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of Donald Trump. And I would sincerely welcome someone explaining it to me to help me. Because to be able to represent the United States, he's not a united type of person. He's not trying to unite anybody. He
no.
is for himself completely.
Yes, and I'm not sure, you know, when you hear him talk, I'm not sure who the, I don't know who the African-American over there was that he was talking about. And I rarely see any other color people in any of anything he does. So there's that. So he's definitely, like you say, he's definitely not uniting people. But I'm not really clear when he's talking about making America great again or taking things back or we don't win anymore. I'm like, win at what? When he's talking about jobs, I mean, and here's something, like you say, he contradicts himself. Here's somebody who has companies who outsources things to Mexico and China. And I'm like,
when he becomes president, Renee, he's going to bring those jobs back to the United States, okay?
He's going to have to because he's building
a
wall. So the people over there can't. So anyway, so there's that. So I'm like, well, you're a huge part of the problem. If you have massive things that you're building. You probably are hiring a lot of immigrants to do it because you don't want to spend a lot of money on it because Americans require money because we can't live in all these places with a little bit of money. So I'm guessing you're hiring a lot of immigrants to do your work. And when the ones that you're hiring here, you know, you're not hiring a lot of Americans here to do the work, not the marketing work, but the I got to build stuff work. And then you're farming everything else out, like most big companies do. So you're going to force Apple to bring their work back and Walmart to bring their jobs back here and all the companies that decide to outsource it to other countries? Are you going to force them to bring it back here? Are you going to tax them a lot for sending it to Singapore and the Philippines and India? And I mean, how is that going to work if you're going to create jobs? Because that's where the jobs are. The jobs left. It's not like black people and Hispanic people, all these people took jobs. The jobs left America. There's a difference. And that's what's so confusing to me when people are like, well, yeah, he's speaking the truth and we're losing the country. And I'm like, yeah, we are, only because people like him are sending the job somewhere else. You don't have a job because a black person took your job. You have a job because Trump sent your job to India. He sent your job to China because he didn't want to pay you a living wage, because he could pay someone over in China $3 a day to do the same job you were requiring $35,000 a year for. I don't understand why no one gets that. Like, that's, and so what he's doing is he's blaming all, you know, as much as he claims he's not, he's basically in his roundabout way blaming black and brown people for all the problems that white people have. I'm like, no, they have problems because of you and people like you and companies like you. But no one seems to see that. And so they all like his big talk and the huge and the great and it's going to be terrific and all this other stuff. And I'm like, he's not even saying anything, guys. He's not saying anything that is coherent. He's not saying anything about his policies and what he's going to actually do, other than the wall. We're going to build a wall and I'm going to make Mexico pay for it. And if I were Mexico, the Mexican president, I think I would build a wall. And I think I would build it and take back California and all the states that were taken. I would take back. I would take California and New Mexico and Texas. I would take all my states back. And you can't come vacation in Cancun. And you can't come over here to Puerto Vallarta. You keep yourself over there. You can't have my Mexican Coke. None of that. That's what I would do. I sure would. I'd
start
building
the wall. Where is the wall going to be?
That's where it should be. It should run right up along
through
Texas.
You know, when they talk about make America great again, okay. What, I'm struggling with that whole thing too. What does that really mean? So
I'm not really sure.
So one, I want to know, that where were we at the pinnacle?
Yeah.
What was America great? And
yeah,
what would that look like again?
Because there's not too, I mean, honestly, for any group, any non-white Christian male group, you can't go back 2 years and it's okay. You really can't. I mean, 2 years ago, if you were in the LGBT community, you couldn't get married. That's 2 years ago, too. So it's already looking bad. You go back.
I don't know. Well, you know what? I'm thinking about this too. You know, people are, if whoever is not happy with the way America is going and what's going on with America, and I'm just going to say mostly Caucasian white, since you don't like America, why don't you go back to Europe? That's usually the phrase that they give us all the time. You don't like it here? Go back to Africa. Well, you don't like it here? Go back to Europe. Go back. Why isn't that an option?
I don't know. Because they feel like they're more American than many of everyone else, I guess. And that becomes a question is, then what is an American? Because if you're like I was just talking about the judge in his case, if you're going to try to disqualify a judge of Mexican descent who was born in Indiana,
he needs to ban his children.
Right. I'm like, he needs to almost ban himself. His mother came here and he gave birth. I mean, his mother was basically an immigrant. So I'm like, come on, you can't pick and choose this. So you do have to look at that. But at some point, you do have to think, well, when was it great? Because you could keep going back to history. You go back to the 70s, you go back to the 60s. Each group, there was something that couldn't do something. Women couldn't work. Blacks couldn't vote. You know, you got all these groups of people who couldn't do something when America was supposedly better or great or when we were winning.
Wait,
I don't know
maybe,
when that was.
Maybe it's make America great again for a certain group of people.
Oh, I definitely think that.
That's really what it is. Because
I think that's what people like.
I don't have an image of great.
No. Because it still isn't at a place. It's
better.
Better, But I don't think it's, I mean, like you said, women still get paid less. Black women get paid less than white women, who get paid less than white men. So there's still a wage gap. There's still blatant racism. There's still sexism. There's still, you know, bias against religions. I mean, we have it's the First Amendment. We have freedom of religion, but we want to check everybody that comes into the country to find out if they're Muslim. When did that happen? What happened to freedom of religion? Nobody, the Native Americans sure weren't checking you Christians when you came over here raping and pillaging and giving diseases. They should have been, but they weren't doing that. I mean, now all of a sudden we're checking religion? I'm like, come on now. So, I mean, you have all of this bias going on. So when was it great? When wasn't there an issue? Somebody other than straight white Christian males. When was it an issue for somebody else? And therein lies the problem with the phrase that he, by the way, stole from Ronald Reagan's campaign. But I digress. But and when Reagan used it, Reagan was using it in terms of the financial situation of America. Not, you know, that may have been, it may have been code for something else, but it wasn't the way Trump is using it. Of, you know, we're losing all the time. And I'm like, losing to who? We're losing jobs to China and Mexico, but that's people, you know, that's you. That's not the average American farming out jobs to. I'm not farming out my position someplace else. That's people like you. Big companies do that because you want to profit, because you want to make more money, because you want to destabilize government. You want everything to go private so that you can make the most profit possible. So that's not the average American doing that, and everybody seems to want that. It should be private. The government should be in everything.
And that's what's so disturbing to me is that because the minorities, well, not minorities, but because of the poor white, that's had an impact on them directly. Why would you continue to vote for someone like Donald Trump?
I don't know.
But I guess it's easier to believe that, oh, the Mexicans are taking our job. Oh, now the African Americans are taking the job. That's not true. They're being sent, like you said, to China. They're being sent to India. Trust me, we don't have them.
Yes. I think if people looked at that, they would. I think if people stopped listening to the rhetoric that makes them feel good, like, yes, I have somebody to blame, because that's what it feels like. It feels like there's all these people who've been wanting to say all of these things. They're tired of trying to be politically correct, whatever that means in their world. To me, basically, it means you just want to call people names. You don't want to have to say African-American, when you use the N-word, you know, when I could call a Mexican a wetback, when I could call a woman a broad or a hoe or bitch or whatever. Like, I don't want to be able to, I want to be able to call people whatever I want to call them and not be told that I'm wrong. And that's okay as long as I can do that too. Can we all do that? We can all do that. Awesome. But if your feelings are going to get hurt because I called you a racist bigot, we can't play this game. And that's the problem.
That's definitely not with Donald Trump. That's the problem.
That's the problem. We can't. The game doesn't work both ways. You want to be able to call me something, but I can't call you anything, and that's how it all breaks down. But I think at the end of the day, if people really listen to what each candidate is saying, I still am baffled by how Donald Trump got this far. Honestly, I'm just baffled because when you listen to it, like you say, he contradicts himself. He doesn't apologize for anything. Even when he is dead wrong, he does not apologize for it. He is racist on so many levels. Just the things he says out loud, you're just incredulous at it. Like, are you serious? Did he actually say that out loud? Like, people heard him, and he says it. But I think one of the big issues, and I'm put a lot of responsibility on the media on this, is that they gave him way too much airtime and coverage. The other 16 candidates didn't have combined. I don't think they had as much coverage as Trump has had in this campaign season. And unfortunately, you didn't get to hear the messages of some people who were probably who I'm assuming were a little more balanced and diplomatic, you didn't get to really hear that message because everything Trump said became a soundbite. He was a master at that. Even when he refused to do a debate, they would cover whatever it is he was going to do instead, and then, you know, cover a debate too. And, you know, that kind of media attention is hard to look away from. It's like a train wreck, but you keep watching it because you can't believe it. And so he got a lot of attention. He played it well. It's scary, but he did. He played it well, and somehow he's the last person standing in this situation. So, you know, if you are someone listening and you are a Trump supporter, you know, come to us on Facebook at Black Women Talk, or send us a voicemail at blackwomentalk@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what your reasonings are behind the support behind him. I could see that there are probably some wealthier black people who support Trump, probably because they've been on Celebrity Apprentice. I could kind of see that. I've heard, you know, Omarosa is a huge supporter. I to this day don't know why. And when she's on, I'm
she's
not.
Crazy.
But whenever I hear her on like MSNBC or CNN, she doesn't really have a real reason why she's supporting him. She just does. Like, she just, you know, you have to know Donald Trump. And probably, like, everybody kind of talks like that, but there's not a real reason behind why they think he would be a good president, which is really the question. Why do you think he would make a great president? Why do you think he could lead the United States of America? America is not a business. And I think that's one of the problems, is that people think because he runs a business, he can run the government. The government is not a business. It doesn't operate on a profit. So I don't know. And it has, you just can't unilaterally decide to do things either. You have a Congress, you have a judicial system that you work in conjunction with. So you just can't decide, I'm going to do X and then just do it. You have to work with other people, which just doesn't seem to be something, from what I've surmised from just listening to how he's dealt with things, it's not something that he does well. He just makes decisions. He might stick by them. He might not. I don't know. He might just sue if it doesn't go his way. But you just can't do that in the government. You just can't decide, I'm just going to go bomb somebody and not run it through some, you know, some other people. Just say, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to do that. That makes sense to bomb these people. So so I think we need to take a look at what people are saying, what they're doing, what they plan to do. What is the actual plan to be president? I know no one's really prepared for it. It's not a job. You know, it's not like you go to school and learn how to be president. It definitely seems to be some on-the-job training there every single day. But when you look at the candidates, who do you think could really survive all of the things that are going to be thrown at you every single day? Every day, because there's going to be something. There's other countries, there's people right in your own country, there's small decisions to make, there's big decisions to make. I read somewhere the other day, I don't know if you told me this, Rhonda, or I read it, I don't remember, but somebody was telling me that President Obama has one suit because it's one less decision he has to make every day. He just has the same suit. And I thought, how stressful is life that it's gotten down to that? One suit, like I'm just wearing the same suit because you're making decisions every single day, about trivial things, about huge things, about things in the middle. You know, somebody, you know, Aretha Franklin's coming to sing. You know, where's she going to be? Where am I going to put her? Where, you know, I mean, stuff like that. Stuff that's not even quote unquote presidential. I have to tell somebody to deal with it. You know, nothing else. You know. I got to do a press conference. I got to be somewhere. You know, all of that stuff. And I don't see Donald Trump handling that well, working with all those other people, being able to not bully them into a decision, but really come to a consensus on what needs to happen. And actually listening to people who've been there a lot longer than he has on what to do. I don't see how that's going to work. Between Hillary and Bernie, I don't know. I think Hillary has the experience. Even though I line up politically more with Bernie Sanders, apparently. I still think, I do agree with you. I think Hillary has more experience. I think that overall she could talk to diplomats and foreign leaders and Congress and get some stuff to happen. I think Bernie could too, though. I think he has less experience, but I think he could do it. So
yeah, I agree. I think he could do it. I think just under the political environment that we're in right now, I don't know how well he would handle it.
Yeah.
And to be able to get bipartisan influence might take him a while. As with Hillary, she already has it.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
think
she already
has quick decisions. Of, yeah, she has the influence. She knows how to work with them. I think in this case, and to me, I think it would be a shame in terms of just looking at this. Would really prove to me where America is and where in terms of dealing with women. If you got three candidates, and we talk about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders. And you know who the most qualified person is, and you still don't elect them, that tells me how you feel about women as a whole. We're still on that bottom rung. That's it.
Yeah.
That would tell me where we are as a nation. We don't even believe that women have the ability, with as much knowledge and experience as she has, to be able to do a good job. And that's sexist within itself. So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't win, but I'd be very disappointed that we're always still looking for that white male. We need to at least have a little bit more diversity, even in terms of gender. So, I think it would just be somewhat embarrassing.
I agree. I think it would be nice to see that. I've often said I don't see Hillary winning because of that. I feel like, you know, we've already done something different twice. We had a black man in office, and America's like, yeah, we need to go back to, you know, white men now. And so and having a white woman in office, two different things back to back, I wonder how that's going to play out. When I listen to people talk about Hillary, it's so interesting because there's not a whole, you know, everything comes down to, like, her emails. Sometimes, and sometimes it comes down to what happened in 08 and what she said about President Obama. And at some point, you got to go, okay, a lot of people have said a lot of things about a lot of people. And do they get it, you know, in the past, but do we get to forgive and move on and deal with what's happening right now? I guess does she still feel that way? Was that a slip of the tongue? Was it something she did to win? I don't know. But at some point, do you just get to say, you know what, that was 8 years ago. So it was 8 years ago.
I think one of the things that's plaguing her campaign is the fact that her relationship with Bill Clinton is not as clear to most people. Yes, they are married, but they don't look like a typical married couple that we're used to.
I'm
and the fact that well, okay. I really don't know, but I also think that it bothers some women to a certain degree that although she knows he cheated, she took him back.
That
seems like a weak move. I don't know, to some people. To me, it's
I do
not. It takes more strength to remain a friend, married or whatever, to someone who's done what Bill Clinton has done to a married woman. That's just... It takes more strength to forgive than to throw them away. So
that's
my two cents. But I think that those are the two things. Her relationship with her husband today and her relationship as it happened back then with Monica Lewinsky, I think that is a scar that doesn't hurt Bill Clinton, who did it, but I think it hurts her, which tells me a lot about how society as a whole treats women. We're on a different standard. And I think that, you know, if she wins, great. To me, that would imply that we are advancing much further than I think we are, especially in terms of allowing women to be, to have, I guess, power to be leaders, to be decisive, and to also not, I don't think I've ever seen Hillary look vulnerable. And I think that scares people a little bit. She's, like I said, she's very textbook. There's something about her that people are afraid of. But, again, I don't think, as a woman, I think men definitely don't understand how strong this woman has to be in the political realm that she is in as a woman, period. I don't care if she's gray. I mean, I work in an environment where it's predominantly white male, and it's an undertaking just to deal with how you can be easily dismissed, period. So I think she's the most qualified candidate. I don't know if America's ready for that. She's very different. She's an independent woman to some degree, and that scares for you because that's not the typical role that Americans see women in.
I agree. You're kind of convincing me maybe to vote for her. I hadn't thought about her because I was surprised when I did that. I was like, huh? Because I really thought I would, you know, kind of be more of a Hillary supporter. But I agree with you. I think the fact that you do have to be tough to be in this arena with any guy who's throwing things at you, who is, you know, mudslinging, bringing up crazy stuff, and you know, and it gets ridiculous at some point. But you do have to be tough. I don't know what I do agree with you. I don't know what her situation is with Bill. I sort of joke about them being divorced, but I've thought that for a long time that they're actually divorced, because the only time you really ever see them together is at inaugurations. They walk in, they hold hands, and they separate. Like,
think about that. Woman to woman, how embarrassing would that be to know some little woman has been with your man? And you walk around in, it's not like it's hidden. It's public.
Yeah, it's very public.
Can you imagine some of the things that she has heard about, well, you should have, and I've heard some people say, well, she should have just, you know, she should have been sucking his dick. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
A lot of women know you can turn flips in the bed. If a man wants to cheat, he won't cheat.
Right.
And how degrading that can be.
Yeah.
So I think she's, under the circumstances, I think she's calm, cool, and collected. I think she is. She's a little bit more, like I said, she has this bipartisan flavor about her. I think she's a much more viable candidate. And she's stronger than we think. She just doesn't have that connection that we look at. I mean, I'm gonna say this: President Obama is the smoothest president we've had since Kennedy. If people thought Kennedy was cool, but Obama's got swag. And if you don't understand what swag is, I'm sorry, but he got it. He's very diplomatic. He's very suave. I don't think we will ever get another president like that for a very long time. Very well spoken. I haven't, even when people try to catch him off guard, I have never heard him speak out of turn. He's very poignant to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get that. Bill Clinton came close. So what we got, Renee? Are we wrapping up?
Yeah, we can wrap up. So here's our questions to our listeners. First of all, thank you for listening tonight to us. I don't know if we have answered that question for you guys or not. Who should we vote for? Rhonda's probably convinced me to go with Hillary. So I don't know about you, but maybe I might be voting a little differently. So, so here's our question: is who are you considering voting for in this election, or who do you think should get the black vote? And are candidates working to earn that vote, not just expecting it? Because that's really my issue: is are people really working for it? So let us know. You can hit us up on Facebook and let us know. We're at Black Women Talk on Facebook. We are on Twitter at Black Women Talk. Or you can send us an email at blackwomentalk sleepwithlisa@gmail.com. So any one of those three places. You can send us a voicemail or an email. We prefer voicemail because we can listen to them quicker. But any of those three ways you can reach us. Next week, we're going to be talking about diversity. This is one of my favorite topics because it drives me nuts. So we're going to be talking about diversity, and you'll find out why diversity drives me crazy. I have begun to hate that
word. There's several, apparently from what you told me, there's several definitions to diversity, and that's what I'm really excited about, that we want to disclose to you guys that what we think diversity is versus what other people think diversity is they're two different animals.
Yes.
So this should be an interesting zoo that we'll be presenting to you next week.
Yes. Join us next week here on Black Women Talk Radio, on Blog Talk Radio. And in the meantime, have a great week. Let me see if I had it. Outro music this week. Hold on.
Oh, please.
I did that just to be honest.
All right. I love you, Renee. Thank you, baby girl.
You are like on Facebook. Good night.